This episode, I am joined with Tammy Staker, who owns Whimsy, a toy store in Albert Lea, Minnesota. And we talk so many things about running a store, the challenges, the things that she loves. I ask her about a proudest moment she had, which just happened recently, on how she adapted during the holidays with the COVID restrictions. She did some magical stuff for her customers that I think will really inspire you. We talk about our favorite books and podcasts, and Tammy is going to give away a book. She's got an extra copy we talk about in the episode, but how you can win is the first person who comments on Tammy's episode on the Instagram account for Crystal Uncorked will get that book. We also talk about a neat way for Tammy to use TikTok for her store, which other business owners can totally use TikTok in the same way. We talk about Clubhouse. If anybody needs an invite, DM me on Instagram. I can definitely send you an invite. We also talk about Amazon. You know, I couldn't not ask that question because Tammy has a toy store. Toy is a pretty big category on Amazon. So she has just such a great perspective about that platform. And I think it will be really refreshing for other retailers who kind of compete with Amazon to hear her thoughts about that as well. Tammy shares a story about how she totally messed up on pricing. It's pretty funny. And I just have to say, I freaking love Tammy's laugh. It is just so enjoyable to listen to. So I think you'll love that too. Plus, if you like cats, you might hear a little bit of meows occasionally through this episode. So you'll just love this episode even more. Like I've mentioned in the past, we do use adult language on Crystal Uncorked. So if you have any kiddos around, earmuffs, not just what earmuffs, and get yourself something to drink and cozy up. This is a very relatable conversation that I think you're really going to enjoy being a part of. So let's dive into the episode. Hello, I'm Crystal Vilkaitis. I'm a curious, wine-loving entrepreneur who loves to learn and have open and honest conversations. Join me and my amazing guests as we talk about all sorts of relatable business and life stuff. It's my goal that you'll have fun, learn something new, and get inspired. Wine is not required, but is recommended. This is Crystal Uncorked. Tammy Staker, welcome to Crystal Uncorked. I am so thrilled you are here. Yay! We have to just, I'm gonna get into what you're drinking and all sorts of good stuff, okay, but can we just do like a cheers? Because you are my first retailer and my second guest, my third guest on the show. So cheers for being here. Yay! So, Tammy, you are my OG insider. I started Crystal Media in 2012 in September, and I launched a membership site in October, and in November you joined, and you haven't left me since, which I'm so happy about. And you own a toy store called Whimsy in Albert Lea, Minnesota, and you are a store that I often reference of doing some great things. The biggest thing that I feel like you do so well is you are so consistent with your branding. It's like the green and purple experience. You are consistent through and through, and it really builds that recognition. So I love that you do that. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff with your store today. But before we do, tell me, what are you drinking?
Okay, so we have a winery. In fact, when you come see your parents, you still have to stop here. Yes. Or your aunt or your uncle. Is it your parents?
My mom and my whole mom's side is all there.
Okay, so you'll have to stop here, and then we'll take a little detour about 45 minutes away, and we will go to this winery. Oops, you can't see it, but it's
Four Daughters Vineyard
and Winery. They have great wine. They have really good food. I have coolers. That's what I should have said. I had berry vine coolers is what they have now. They make cider. So my husband loves the cider, so he drinks the cider. But they're one of the premier vineyards, or I guess vendors, at Sundance.
Oh.
With their wine and stuff. So they've done an incredible job. He literally built the vineyard, or the winery and vineyard, for his wife. And they have four daughters. And it was a way to bring all of their family back home to do business. In fact, one of their daughters actually lived in San Diego and moved back home.
Oh my gosh. I love that. See, you got to just get my mom to build a vineyard and then I'll move there.
done. I'm back.
Exactly.
I'm back be there. Yep.
That sounds awesome. I would love
fabulous wine. So,
well, and I love cider as well. So I feel like I would love that place. That is awesome. And then I am drinking a GSM. This is a blend, which, okay, I totally don't have my other camera on. So that's not great, but that's okay. I had to like look up the pronunciation on this wine. So it's Tessalay is the brand Tessalay, and it's produced in a village in Côte du Roussillon. I don't know if I said that correctly. It's in France, but it's a Grenache, Syrah, Modèvre blend. There's a local wine shop here that does some really excellent deals if you buy like 3, 6, or 12 bottles. And so I just bought 12 bottles without even trying it. It was just like it was a deal I couldn't pass up. And so thankfully I love the wine and I was researching it. It's like kind of a hard to find wine. So I have many bottles.
That blend though. That's a cool blend.
It's very good. It's really good wine. Okay, Tammy, tell the people, take a couple minutes and tell the people about your store.
Whimsy. Well, the goal of the store is for people to feel better coming out than they did going in. We want them to have fun all the time that they're there. So there's lots of stuff to experience while you're in the store. It is a sea of purple and green. Everything in there is purple and green, and all of our shelving is black, which is kind of weird for a toy store compared to others, but it makes the colors pop and I like it. And so we really have a lot of fun, and it's becoming more of a destination now, which is making me really happy. The best sounds in the world are the little kids saying, going like, "Oh, mommy, look, that's the best sound in the whole world."
Yeah.
Or the giggles. You know, when they've found something they play with. The hardest part probably through the pandemic is that we had to take some of the toys up and put them away.
Oh.
And that's just not what we were. So right. I did figure out a way to do it to where we had people check out buckets of toys.
Oh.
And so, you know, if it was just like one family, then they could play with the toys together and then they had to give them back to us. But it was only like one family at a play table at a time. And then we would wash everything down and, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause I just couldn't cope with people not being able to play in the store. It's just not right.
Oh my gosh. Totally. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the pivots that you've probably had to make with COVID, but that, I mean, to have that connection. And I've talked to so many of my friends who have kids and just how sad it is for these kids not being able to go into school and not being able to go into the stores and play and do their life, you know, like I feel like the parents are just doing the best that they can, and how wonderful for stores like you to offer still an outlet to connect and let these kids play.
Yeah, we used to have, you know, like probably 4 to 5 different evening events throughout the month where there's like a craft night and then there's reading and then there's game nights and those kinds of things. And of course, all of that had to be cut out. And so they would come during the middle of the day because the parents were getting tired of them too, you know, they wanted to do something. And the thing that was funny is that we were not, when COVID broke loose, we were not deemed essential. So we had to close. At least I don't know how it goes with the rest of the states, but in Minnesota, we weren't deemed essential. And the parents disagreed with that a lot.
Oh, yeah. So,
but yeah, but it's all coming together. It's fine. It's going to be fine. You know, I'm just I'm just not that worried about it. I mean, we've gotten such huge support from our community. I think the big plus is that people have kind of discovered what's at home because they haven't been able to go anywhere else.
Yep.
And so we've had a lot of discovery that's occurred, which has meant fun, you know, for people.
Right.
And so we handle lots of different brands. A couple years ago, we brought in some clothes. So we do clothes from newborn to 4T because, you know, we're a town of 18,000 people and we had one of our largest retailers close down, Herberger's. And we then started getting a lot of requests from moms and families asking for clothes and baby clothes, those kinds of things for gifts, because the only other choice was Walmart and not everybody wants to do that. And so we started bringing in clothes. It's been a slow go, but it's coming around now, you know, so. Oh, good. Fun.
Well, yeah. Smart. I mean, yes, you are in this tiny town. So a very cool way for you to just adapt to the changes and listen to your customers and be there for them. Speaking of being there for them, you just celebrated in January your 12th year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge, Tammy. So cheers to 12 years.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. It is huge. And it's okay. I'm going to be totally selfish and I guess that's okay.
Yes.
But I'm a part-time business owner. Okay. I've had a full-time job for a Fortune 6 company. I'm in my 25th year of that now. And so I know that there's a lot of people that have some doubts about hobby business. You know, they call us hobby business owners, don't you?
Right.
Know? But for me, it's just been, I don't know. I've always worked from home since we moved down here. And I've officed in the back of the store. I mean, Tom built me out an office in the back of the store. It's not a bad thing for me to kind of hang out just to be there, you know?
Sure.
Just to say hello to my team and sure. Then let them know that I'm there.
Yeah, totally. Well, so that helps the culture.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've always done two things at once. So
that's impressive. I had no idea. So you have a full-time job plus you're running the store.
Yeah. And I manage a team of people at the full-time job. And then I manage a team of people at the store.
Wow.
The managing the people at the store is much more challenging because this is going to sound really crass, but I'm an ass like that. I care more about the people at the store. I don't care as much. I mean, I like my team, but I don't care about them in the same way that I care about the people that work at the store.
Yeah.
So
I find that stores really seem to build, these local businesses just build family. Like it's not mm-hmm. even, and I do, trust me, I've heard the challenges with finding good people in retail. I do think that can be challenging, but mm-hmm. when you do find good people, it really is family. It's not just, you know, staff and employees.
Yeah, it really is. And we try our best to take care of them. And part of the madness of me continuing to work too is I don't want to get to that point where like I retire and then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, making sure that I can go take people to lunch. That's just such a bunch of bullshit for me because I love to do that. I love to buy gifts. I love to do whatever I want. And so it's allows me to be able to do that. I probably can do a few more extra things at the store that I might not be able to do otherwise, as far as, you know, like physical improvements, those kinds of things. Cause it's just like, wait, okay, that's why you're working. So, you know, and then we didn't have near the fear that other business owners probably did when they had to shut down because we could still offset those expenses. It wasn't fun, but it was still something that we could do that other people couldn't do because of the situation that we have. So I'm just really grateful.
In these 12 years that you've had your store, what is, it might be hard to answer this of like the one thing, but like, what is a thing that brings you so much joy that is very rewarding as being a store owner?
Well, okay. The one thing is that when we changed the name, when I bought the store, it was called Celebrations. I bought it from someone else that already had it. I tried to update the logo and stuff to kind of be us. And even then we were purple and green, but it never felt like ours. And so when we changed the name and changed the graphics and the branding and everything, it became ours. And I just, once I saw that logo and I saw the sign go up and everything started coming together with the name change, it was awesome. It was just like, yep, here we go.
You know, one mm-hmm. thing that I like to ask my guests, even though I've only really had like one guest that I've asked this to because I'm so new, but still it's something I want to ask many guests in the future, is a moment where you are in your professional career, big or small, and this could mm-hmm. be your store or this could be your other job too, but just a moment in your professional career where you felt proud of yourself. And I say that just because I feel like we don't often say, we don't say I'm awesome or I'm proud. I did something great. And mm-hmm. I just think we need to do that more. So what is a time where big or small that you were proud of yourself in your professional career?
Oh, I think it was this last year at the store at Christmas. We kind of have a unique layout wherein we have an accessible basement. I mean, there is a set of stairs going down to our basement from the store. And years ago, there used to be actually another business down there. We were one of the only stores that actually had an active business that wasn't even close to what we were doing, but they were downstairs and they moved out. So then we swooped in and took the whole thing, you know, because that's how I am.
Yeah.
But what we were able to do this year, because we had the space, is we created a really safe place for Santa to visit.
Oh.
And so I bought more white shower curtains than any person should ever buy in their entire life. So I think I've got 15 or 16 down there. And then Tom hung them up so that we created just kind of almost like this studio space. We had an antique red table that we weren't using for display upstairs, but it worked perfectly for this. I bought a background of like a fireplace with stockings hung by the chimney with care. And then Santa sat behind the table. And then the kids could come in front of him. And so they could still get pictures and that kind of stuff and talk to him. And so that was super cool. So we had like a max of 5 people that could go down and so that they were there. And then we found that we did have some people that just didn't want to get out at all.
Sure.
So then we transformed that into Zoom.
Oh, awesome.
And then Santa was in the same space and then he did Zoom calls. And I even have him, this is really funny, but Jean Haller's granddaughter, Morgan, the oldest one. That's right. Yeah, Morgan's the oldest one. Anyway, she's like on the cusp of not like being a believer. And so Jean set up calls for Zoom calls with all of them. And so I've got a picture of Morgan talking to Santa on a Zoom thing where, yeah, she was giving him the business, like, you know, wanting to drill him about this and that, you know, like what's going on here. But I think he won. I think he ended up winning. But it was the coolest thing because I had a picture that I'd taken of Ron, you know, that the lighting was just perfect. You know, I'm not a very good photographer, but once in a great while, it's like, man, that one's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And so there was that one. And then Amy, Jean's daughter, took a picture of Morgan looking into the screen with him on the other side. And it was just really cool.
Oh, that's so special.
We had a lot of kids. Well, I think the whole environment ended up creating some safety where the kids felt more comfortable being with Santa instead of being in the long line.
Right.
Because there was a lot of really good conversations that happened, you know, and they were there with their family. So it wasn't like looking at everybody and watching everybody. It was just them.
Wow.
And then the other one that was fun was a Zoom call. Our first Zoom call with a little kid in here in town, 2 brothers. But this one little kid, boy, he was just on it. And he wanted to know what kind of cookies Santa wanted. Santa asked him if he'd been doing his chores and keeping up with things. And he said, well, I've been doing pretty good, except for I'm not cleaning my room like I should. And then he goes, Mom, how long has it been since I cleaned my room? And she goes, oh, well, a couple of months. And Santa's going, well, I don't know. That's not so good. And the mom goes, oh, but he's trying really hard. So you can hear her in the background. And then he said, he goes, well, what kind of, oh, the other thing that was great, Ron said, well, he said, you're going to have to, you know, I'm going to send some people to watch you. You know, that's how this goes. So we know about this naughty and nice stuff. And he said, you know, all the birds? And he goes, yeah. Well, the birds work for me.
Oh, oh dang.
So he's going, Mom, the birds work for Santa. So you could hear him like screaming. And then he wanted to know about the, he wanted to know about the cookies. And so then Ron commented back, he goes, you know, I really like sugar cookies. And if you could find your way clear to put some frosting on them, that would be great too. I mean, they just had such a great conversation back and forth. So it was like, yep, this is why we're here. It was the best thing ever.
Totally.
And so we've continued it. So we had Elsa there for an event we have in town called the Big Freeze.
Okay.
There. And then one of my team members is going to be the Easter Bunny on Saturday.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram. That team member has some dance moves in that Easter Bunny costume.
She's like the shyest person ever. In fact, she told my manager this weekend, Lori, that she goes, you know, I really don't know why I'm in retail because I don't like talking to people at all. But she got inside the costume and it wasn't her.
Right.
And she was just like, and nobody asked her to dance or anything. She just started doing it. So
it's
like,
didn't move.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that you did that for Christmas. Like, that is a really special thing to still provide to your town and these kids, and really figuring it out for both families, the ones that were feeling okay to venture out and still, you know, still be safe, but go out. Mm-hmm. And then the ones who weren't, I really want Santa on Crystal Uncorked. I feel like that would be a fun episode.
A good thing that Mrs. Claus works for me, so that could happen.
Ooh, all right. All right. I know somebody who knows somebody. All right.
Yep. Exactly. And, you know, alcohol always helps. He's a semi-dirty Santa.
Okay.
So. That's why I like him.
Even better. I mean, that's perfect for the show. That sounds right up my alley.
Well, I actually offered the job to come and work for me to Lori the year before when I hired them as Santa and Mrs. Claus. They were both in the store. And she said that they'd just moved back to town. She'd grown up here and they just moved back to town. And she said she was looking for something to do. And it's like, and I was watching her the whole night with the kids and that kind of stuff. And she was awesome. And I said, well, I said, you know, you could work here if you wanted. She goes, are you kidding? You know? And so we just went from there and she was at work like the next week.
Oh,
and then I told Ron, I go, you know, one of the best things ever is that you just said yes in time to join us for our Christmas dinner. Cause we have one of the best regional restaurants in Minnesota right next door.
Oh, dang. Nice.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And so we take all of our team and their spouses to dinner there for Christmas every year.
Oh.
And yeah, so it's really fun because Ron goes, well, he goes, I think I love you already. And it's like, yep, that's what happened.
Done.
People go to crescendo and it's over.
Yep.
So,
done deal. Forever. Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that so much. Oh, you know, having these magical moments and having a great team, I'm sure makes it easier because I know that retail is tough, like especially this past year, I'm sure was probably the hardest year for a lot of retailers, and certainly certain categories did great. So what are the one or two things that just have helped you these past 12 years?
Perseverance. Would be the biggest thing, I think. Just, you know, you can't expect for it to be like an instant win. You're building to something and you're making it your own. And I think once you get into that zone where it's yours and you're really feeling it, and for us, it happened a lot with the name change and just continues. I think it's a whole different deal then. It's just, it's more fun. I don't know. I just feel like I look at everything at the store a little differently than I used to. I think that the other big thing is training, because I worked retail when I was in high school, but does that count? No, not really. Not when you own a store.
Yeah, a little different.
So I think, you know, I've been blessed with some of the best retail consultants, you being one of them, of course, or I wouldn't be hanging out as long as I have, right? Cheers.
Yay. Cheers. I love it. So true.
And then, you know, we've done a lot of training and a lot of stuff with the Niggins.
Yep.
That's helped a lot. So I think that we've kind of hit the jackpot with some of the retail consultancies that we've had and been a part of for training. I think that's been huge.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think those are probably the two biggest things. You know, you got to be willing to change and kind of grow with what has to happen. I mean, honestly, we left one of the retail success summits and we, you know, we're store owners. We spy on other stores. Although I'm a really good spy. I buy a lot of shit. I buy lots of stuff when I go spy on stores because it's like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I need that. Done. But we stopped at, there was a store in a little town in Illinois, and she was just like killing it from everything she was saying. So I was like, well, I want to see this. This town's like 700 people and she's killing it. I got to figure out what the hell's going on. And so we stopped there and she had toys. She had one room completely full of toys, and they were all Melissa and Doug toys at the time. And so I got back and I called, and that's when Melissa and Doug was Melissa and Doug. I mean, they were really, really focused on this specialty retailer. They weren't, you know, into this expansion that they've gone crazy this last couple of years. But they had some awesome people that called me back. And I mean, this woman was she like vomited all these ideas. I couldn't keep up with her. I asked her, I said, could you send me like notes? And she goes, nope, I really can't, because it just kind of happens in conversation and that kind of thing. And then so we started with that, and we had in the very front of our store, we have an area there. And so we had on both sides, we had toys with the initial order. And then we realized that it was fun. And there is not anybody, I mean, even though the store before was a party store, it was hard to be unhappy at a party store too, except for when people were ordering like napkins for funerals. That wasn't fun.
Right.
But with toys, you know, it's hard for people to be pissy when they're in a toy store.
Yeah.
You know, it just really is, unless parents are cranky because the kids are not leaving. But then we kind of feel like we reign victorious. It's like, ha, gotcha.
Yes.
So, you know, that kind of thing. Totally. So she had these toys. And so we did really well with them that first few months. I think I ordered in August and we reordered again in October. And then Tom, they contacted us to become something that they called like a program partner in January. And that's the first time in my life we ever did an order that big. And it was $10,000. And I thought Tom was smoking crack or something. It's like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Because we don't have this kind of cash. Where are you paying for this?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to pay for it till December. It's okay. Well, you still have to pay for it, you know.
Right.
But it all worked out. And so that's when we became toys, because we saw that we were losing our ass on party stuff. Right. You know, it just wasn't coming through in selling, because you can get it anywhere. No one cares whether my napkin's a 3-ply or a 2-ply. Nobody cares.
Right.
And so then we went to toys. And from there, it's just morphed into books and toys and clothing. And so we kind of have this thing where we know what we are now, and that helps too.
Totally. Yeah. When did you go through kind of the rebrand from Celebrations to Whimsy?
2017.
And is that a thing with secret shopping, other stores? Like, is that a lot of people do that? I feel like, yeah, like all the time, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all the time. I don't think I'm, you know, being like I'm a special agent or anything, and I'm the only one that does it. I mean, when we were away this weekend, I said, Tom, I said, there is a store called Whimsy up here.
Oh.
They don't spell it the correct way, of course, but I said, we have to go check out that store. I said, I run into that lady all the time at North Star when we have the fashion, you know, the kids fashion shows. And she's always like ahead of me. And then somebody wants to spell Whimsy with an S and that's wrong. And so we tried to go find her and that kind of thing. So I bought my granddaughter some clothes and got some brands and, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
It is.
Did a little spying, you know, I think that'd be fun. Yeah.
It's pretty fun. Cause you do, you know, and I mean, we're not in any risk for each other.
Right.
You know, I probably didn't have to buy anything from her, but it's like, it just feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah, totally. You know? Well, and I love that that store was open with you at that small town outside of Illinois that you went to and just mm-hmm. to share that information, which I could see. I mean, just, I'm such a believer of there's plenty of fish, you know, mm-hmm. like there are a million social media teachers in this world. There's like a million new ones every day, I think. And there is still so much business for all of us. So to just mm-hmm. share strategies and be there for each other, I just really believe in that way of thinking and living, you know, perseverance. I'm glad that you said that because I do think that some people, whether it's retail or any industry, will start a business and are like, okay, I'm a business owner. Where's all my cash? You know, and it's like, you have to work really hard for a few years. And if you have some money to spend, that can speed it up a little bit, but it definitely takes some time and figuring out what the hell you're doing, because yeah. I am convinced nobody has it figured out. Like, that's what I'm learning in my years of business.
I don't think anybody has it figured out, but I think you can get to a point to where you're like more comfortable.
Yes.
You know, like I have another friend that's opened a store and she's trying to do everything. And I said, you know what? We went through that cycle and you lose every time.
Yep.
I said, you've got to figure out what you think your niche is. Where do you enjoy it the most? Where, you know, and that kind of stuff to see yeah. where she's at with it. And she's being stubborn, but she'll come around.
Yeah. That's great advice though. I do think that we can be stubborn and stuck in our ways and we see a certain thing, but if we can take a step back and really look at the audience and who can we serve and how best can we do that? And what does that make sense from a product perspective? Like for you in shifting to toys versus party, I'm so glad that you did that too, because I just feel like with these events that you're creating and showing up for your community, you can do that in such a more impactful way with mm-hmm. a toy store and working with our kids and families versus party supply, which it's nothing is wrong with party supply. It's just you saw that need and really delivered this amazing experience for your community. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, you got to keep track too of market saturation. I think when the store was creating, when the previous owner created the store, I think that party and buying at a boutique kind of party store was important. I think that was really important. But when you walk into a grocery store and you can get napkins, right?
Right.
And so cute. And that kind of stuff. No, there's not that big a need of me.
Right.
You know, so as far as being that kind of store owner, and you can see it now with Party Cities closing down like they are and that kind of stuff. So it just is what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's a great transition into a question I have for you, because I mm-hmm. spoke to a small group of toy stores sometime in 2020, I guess. And it was all virtually. What's that?
Oh, you virtually?
Yeah. It was all virtual.
I remember when you were at Astra for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't Astra. It was a small buying group of toy stores. And as I was doing my research, like I knew that category toys is pretty big on Amazon, but mm-hmm. I really started doing some digging and I just feel like that is a category is a tough one to compete with, at least what I was reading and what I was seeing. And yeah. So I wanted to ask you and talk to you about that, because you are a toy store. What mm-hmm. have you seen? I mean, the past year with the pandemic, we've had a lot of shutdowns, obviously. E-com has risen as far as people spending money online and shopping online. We'll get into kind of the future of retail and stuff like that, but we have seen more of it. For you being a toy store and knowing that toys are such a big category on Amazon, have you felt that impact over the past 1 to 2 years?
I only really felt it to where I was angry once when I had a neighbor of all people, right? Lives in the hood. She went on Amazon And we were selling, they'd come out with this great pretend play product called the Fresh Mart grocery store. And for me to buy it, it was like 99 for me to buy it. Melissa and Doug's always run at Keystone at 50%. So then I would sell it at 199. Amazon had it at 129. And she asked me if I would honor that price. And then it just pissed me off. I mean, I was so mad. I'm getting on the phone to Melissa and Doug saying, why aren't you guys enforcing any kind of MAP pricing? Right. What's going on? You guys suck. I mean, I was just, it was not a good conversation.
No.
But I had to tell her, it's like, no, I can't. I just can't do that.
Right.
You know, if you need to get it there, then you need to get it there. And yep, that's the way that it works. But other than that, that's really the only time, because I've come to realize that we have more value than price, you know? And so I think there's things and expertise that we provide and care that we provide to our community. And I think that they're beginning to see that value, you know, because I give a lot of shit away. I mean, when I really take the thing and quit my day job, I don't know. I always laugh and tell Tom, we're never going to make any money at this store. All the time. But it's fun. And it's for worthy causes, because in a small town, there's always somebody in some kind of distress and they're having some kind of, I don't know, dinner or auction or something like that.
Right.
And so we end up doing that. I have gotten a little smarter to where I only do things for kid-oriented events because, you know, everybody catches on. I think it's like wildfire. It's like, psh, 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 they're really easy. Go over there.
So you're in. They'll say yes. They say yes to everything.
So we've kind of cut some of that back. But I really don't get caught up in that. I have some retail friends in toys and in other areas that before they'll do their pricing, even in their system, they'll go look to see what it is on Amazon. And I was like, it is not worth the energy for me to freaking do that. I just don't care. Yep. I don't care that much, you know? And the only way I knew about the Fresh Mart thing was with her telling me and messaging me on Facebook a picture of the thing on Amazon. Yep. But I don't usually do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I was just having this conversation with a dear friend of mine she manages a couple of stores here in Southern San Diego and mm-hmm. Southern San Diego, Southern California. And, you know, more and more people are asking for these online prices that they're seeing, and the consumers just don't understand. I mean, look, I have a retail audience for sure, but I have with Crystal Uncorked, it is kind of a mixed bag right now. Mm-hmm. And so any consumers that are listening to this, I mean, there are, when you're paying a little bit of a higher price point for a Melissa and Doug toy at your local toy store, not only is that money going back into the local economy, you are paying, you, Tammy, these local retailers are paying for the space, which often is not cheap. You're paying your team. Obviously, you've got your bills, your utility, all the things, right? That mm-hmm. adds up. And then you have the level of service. You've got a guaranteed place that you can go to return or ask for help. And it's just at the end of the day, it's worth shopping local. Now, there's going to always be those people that are, you know, the bargain shopper and convenience, and I don't even care. Like if it breaks, I'll just buy another one online, blah, blah, blah. Those people probably aren't your perfect customers then, right? Like
they're going to be the people that are coming at the semi-annual clearance sale, and
right,
they'll be there to do that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think I really worry that if I got caught up in that it would change service levels for me at the store.
Yep.
I think I would carry around some agitation that's unnecessary, you know, because it's not anything really truly that I have any control over. I can't compete against a Target or, you know, Amazon or any of those guys, Macy's, any of those guys. I can't, right. I really can't from a price perspective, but from an experience perspective, yeah, we've got it nailed which way.
Oh, yeah. So, and, yeah. You know, I think that is something, if there are any retailers listening to this, that you said it earlier, Tammy, really understanding your niche and who you are. And then it goes into who you want to work with and who you don't. And that's what I teach of your PCGs, your perfect customer groups, because, you know, you might identify these people and they're coming into the store and they're having that experience. And it can be so easy if you know who you are, you know your niche, and you know your PCGs to send them on their way with love, right? Like, we are just not a good fit for each other, and that is okay. You do not need to be a good fit for everybody. Nope. Going back to, there are plenty of fish, right? Like having that abundance mindset. I'm glad that you're not feeling the impacts too much, because I do wonder, especially from the toy perspective, just because, you know, moms who are at home trying to babysit and be with the kids, or dads, it's not always just moms, whoever the parent is, and to go out and go shopping and things like that could be challenging. So they're ordering online, and that is just part of the game today, right? Like having that convenience.
It's kind of funny because, you know, we set up the site because, well, we needed to, right? We needed to have that visibility and be available. But at the same time, it was a lot of it was to create some comfort for our local people so that, you know, they could basically use the site as a catalog, if you will, of what's available in the store. And then we would take it to them or do whatever they needed us to do, right? To make them feel comfortable too. But the orders, I think since we went live like September, we've had maybe 4 orders that were local. The rest are like across the United States. Like I have this great brand in the store called Tenderleaf. Oh my God. They're the prettiest wooden toys ever. The detail is unbelievable. They're a little bit higher price point. I can't sell those things to save my ass at the store. Not locally. Okay. They go to the East Coast in a heartbeat. We get orders for this product from the East Coast all the time. I mean, everybody's looking for the cat house. Everybody's looking for the little dog house, you know, and all those kinds of things. And so it's like when we were at market a couple weeks ago, we bought back into Tenderleaf just because hopefully we can change some minds here in town. But at the same time, it'd be available. And then there was times where we found where you just fuck up. I mean, I had pricing totally wrong on a game called Buildzy that Karma Games makes, a Tenzi guys. It's a fun game, but I had pricing totally wrong. I mean, I had it in there, you know, the cost was wrong. If I could have fucked it up anymore, I would have, right?
Yeah.
And so Tom goes, man, we are getting all these orders for this game. And so it's like, he goes and he looks out online to see how much they are. And he goes, why are these guys charging all this money? And, you know, I'm pretty self-righteous. And I go, well, I don't know, but everything's okay. You know, and it's like, so I get the new, when we ordered it a couple weeks ago to kind of replenish the supply, it's like, oh, no way. Are you kidding me? Because it was like, oh, yeah. I said, well, that's why we got all those orders, because I totally screwed us.
Oh, no. So you way underpriced it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like by $10.
Oh no, Tammy.
So my $10 is like, wow, no wonder we sold out of those. But what they were doing though, what we experienced at Christmas, I should say, is that they would be using the Google, don't you know? And they would be putting like Buildzy in, right, for this game. And they would see everybody that had, you know, the pricing. And it's like, bingo, you win. It wouldn't be because necessarily that they loved Whimsy. It would be, there you go. I mean, the hope is that they'll hang out on the site and find other things, of course.
Right.
But the other thing was Amazon was higher priced on a lot of toys.
Okay.
So I don't think Amazon is holding pole position any longer on being the cheapest.
Right.
So I think that's interesting too.
Yeah, which is good. I think that there is there's some changes happening there from a toy perspective. And I also think from like a gift perspective too, there's definitely changes, which I am not an Amazon expert at all. I have no idea the back end or selling or anything like that. I just know it's convenient and people are turning to Amazon in certain categories. But yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, you know, it's almost like an interesting lesson there, like of beta testing pricing. I mean, it really does show you if you manipulate numbers a little bit to start seeing where there's some traction. You manipulated a little more than a little bit, but
I'm not sure that was a test. It was more of a giveaway.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to just give you this.
Yeah, there you go. Let me help you out.
Totally. Oh, that's too funny. What is it with the store? Is there anything that you're like, I hate doing? Because I will tell you, for me, I hate HR. Like, I feel that I don't speak the language. It's like Spanish to me. I'm just like trying to understand all the different laws and regulations and rules and all the things, the retirement plans and the insurance plans. And I'm like, what? Like, can somebody else do this? Is there anything for you where you're like, nope, don't get it, don't want to do it, but you got to do it?
Probably the entry of the PO. I don't like doing that, but I have to do it. Because the thing is that you get too many fingers in the pie and then God only knows what you find, you know, once you're in the system. Because by day, I'm a data person. You know, I mean, that's what my function is. I'm a, you know, I'm a reporting manager, and I manage people that do reports and do data analysis and that kind of stuff. And so if I can't get to my own data, it really pisses me off. And if it's messed up, that really makes me mad, you know, because then I'm the one that usually did it. Or if I have somebody else that's done it, it's like, what the hell? You know, why do we need four of these? Probably not. You know, we don't need four separate entries of these and that kind of thing. But
right.
So that's probably it. But yeah. I only really hate it when I've like gone crazy and spent a whole boatload of money like I did 2 weeks ago. And it's like, shit, you know, look at all these orders. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But you got to have the stuff, right?
So. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's the whole side of retail that I don't know a whole lot about, of purchasing. And what I have learned over the many years of working with retailers is that POS systems, like there isn't data. There is, I mean, there is certain things and companies that do certain things for retailers, which is great. I'm so surprised though, how far behind some of these POS systems are, and just the information that's available, or how it's not streamlined to being able to like purchase something and then immediately share it onto Facebook, let's say, of coming soon, and you've done nothing. It's like a click of a button, something that just really helps make it faster, easier for you.
Yeah, we changed to Lightspeed last year.
Okay.
And part of that was to go to do a web store, because I like their interface. And being a data person, I couldn't cope with not having my point of sale talk to my website and not, you know, reflect inventory correctly all the time.
Right.
And so we opted for that. And I really like it, but it had some shortcomings compared to my previous system from a reporting perspective. So then I bought like the analytics package, and I'm feeling a little warmer and fuzzier with it, except that the data is a day old.
Oh.
And if I want to look at shit tonight that happened earlier today, it's like, what? So there's still some work to be done. Right. But, you know, one of the things that I thought was super cool about Lightspeed was that they had this catalog feature. And so if you had, I don't know, one of the brands that we just started carrying is called Genoa. And so if they had it and they had the catalog, then everything was there. So you wouldn't have to do the data entry. Right. It's not that awesome.
Oh.
Because what they did was they started it, right? But they haven't finished it. So if you upload a catalog to them or send them a catalog or an Excel spreadsheet with all that information, then they'll put it on there. But they don't go seek it out themselves.
Got it.
And so that was disappointing. And so when you're looking at doing the website, it's like, well, why can't you do that? I would pay you more money to do that. I would pay you more money to go ahead and go grab the digital images so that you could do what you're talking about with Facebook and all of that.
Yep.
So I think it's just, there's just some gaps.
There are some gaps. And it's sort of, part of me feels like, how do we still have gaps? Like when I started in this retail space, it was in 2010 when I was with Snap Retail, and I spoke at a panel at a gift and home show, and they were very behind the times, and I was blown away. I just couldn't believe it, because I mean, I had to take a lot of steps backwards to connect to people and be able to help where they were today. And so I did that, and that was fine. And that's why I've never left the retail industry when I left Snap, because the industry still needs help.
Yep.
So it's so surprising that how advanced technology is in this industry from a retail perspective and helping indies, it still seems a little slow, which I don't understand. And I've been to industry conferences where it's the manufacturers and the rep agencies who are always like, we want to help the retailers, but nobody is doing it. Like nobody is doing it. People are doing it, but it's more like there's always this segment of, we want to help the retailers. And then there's no action that's happened afterwards. Everybody goes back to trying to make their own money. And you see these manufacturers are like, I'm going to just go direct to consumer. And you know, there's different strategies for all of that. And I'm to each their own, that's fine. But I just really wish that there was more of the actual, like, how can we collaboratively speak together? How can we be collaborative and come up with a solution that I just feel like on the outside seems so easy? I mean, like, we have these companies where you could just try on lipsticks through AR on your Facebook Messenger app, or try on Nike shoes and purchase them right there. Can't we just get some images in your catalog and get it online?
Like, yeah, you would think so. But I mean, there's so many of the vendors Tom takes care of like all of our accounting and AP and all that stuff. And there's so many vendors that can't even take electronic payment.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my.
So I think some of them have had to, you know, certainly had to change with COVID. So maybe that's been a plus, if you will, of the environmental change we've all had to go through because of this. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like he has a lot of frustration with that sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't usually cut. I mean, personally, we haven't cut personal checks for God since before we moved here. So it's like 16 or 17 years. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So, but maybe they'll get caught up that. And, you know, I think some of the bigger vendors are empire building. You know, they just seem to want to acquire other point of sale systems. You know, that happened with, I was on Springboard before, and then Heartland acquired them. And then Lightspeed just bought, what'd they buy? Bend? ShopKeep? One of those, you know, and it's like, you know what? I would just as soon you really focus on your operations inside. And I'd like to see some of those suggestions people have made 3-4 years ago actually come to fruition that you said you're working on, you know, on your journal board and that kind of thing. But
and I will say I get like I worked for a tech company and it does take a lot to make this stuff happen. I just feel like we are seeing a massive evolution in the tech space and online space that I just really wish that could translate to really help independents. With all that being said, what do you think the future of retail is?
I think it's really bright. I think in the next couple of years, especially as people start feeling more confident coming out, you know, and being able to get out and not be afraid all the time. Right. I think there's going to be some of the stuff that we're going to get away from, right? That people are going to want to touch and feel and see things with their own eyes again and that kind of stuff. I think that's going to probably get a little bit bigger. I think there's some categories like grocery. I think those guys have lost the real person for a long time to come because the convenience is such of being able to go pick up your food that I don't see that coming back in the same way for them.
Right.
But I do see it coming back for us. I, you know, for the smaller independents, because I really believe that there's a lot that happened in a good way in smaller communities, a lot of discovery, even in neighborhoods. I, you know, even like where you are in San Diego, if somebody couldn't get out to be able to go to a bigger store, they might be able to walk around the corner and find some great pizza place that they could, you know, mask up and have a piece of pizza or sit on a patio or something where they might not have seen it before or gone.
Totally. You know,
so I think there's a lot of that's happened. That's been a blessing really for the business person.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. So, I've loved seeing that too. I do feel like there has been a lot of good that has come out of this. And just like anything, it does make us think differently and it does create innovation and change. And so that is great. I agree with you. I definitely think grocery is going to change. I think that those jobs will look different in like stocking. One thing that I do here, because Pauline introduced it to me and you've been in one of my in-person workshops. And so like I talk often, I don't know if I said this in the one you were in, but like Pauline will tell me to do something and I do it. It's just like whatever Pauline says, I do it. Or like whatever she does, I'll do it. And so she talked about this local farm. You know, we have so many local farmers here, and there's a company called Imperfect Produce. And, you know, grocery stores won't take imperfect produce. They throw it away. So there's a company that takes that produce and offers it to people. So you're basically shopping directly from the farmer, and it might, you know, be small or it might be giant, but it's still good. It doesn't need to be thrown away, and they deliver it to your doorstep and you get to pick what you want. And it's like, I mean, it doesn't get more convenient than that.
Oh, and that's awesome. And
it's awesome, right? Actually, I looked into it for my mom in Iowa, in McGregor, Iowa, and they did deliver there. So it might be in Minneapolis, but it's just so cool to have that relationship with those farms and then prevent that kind of waste. And so that whole, like the grocery industry is, there's a lot of changes for sure. But I agree with you. I feel like local, the experience piece, people always want experiences. People want something to do.
Yeah.
People don't really like want to go grocery shopping. Some people love it. I personally don't, but I do feel like they need that experience. And so I don't think it's going anywhere. I do think it's going to change. I mean, okay, so you have 4 grandkids. When we were talking before we started recording, one's close, so that one's super spoiled. 3 are far away, so they're semi-spoiled.
Yeah, they're in Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a world where they are shopping? I don't know if this is going to happen, but this is what people are talking about. This is what's being built, where they're shopping through VR, virtual reality. through like a headset or that augmented reality where I said like trying on lipstick or Nike shoes. I mean, that's already here. People are already doing that.
Oh, I could totally see my grand boys doing that. Totally. I don't know yet about Bailey, but I mean, the grandsons are both, well, one's for sure a teen and one's on the cusp of being a teen. So I could for sure see them do it. I mean, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I think the other part of that is, you know, like I always joke at the store that it takes 2 years for anything to get to Albert Lea, right? It takes 2 years. If the sloth is the most popular thing, yeah, we might be able to do that in a couple of years because we're still doing unicorns and mermaids, you know? But it, so I think that there would be like some catch up that would have to occur even with that.
Yeah.
So,
but I even wonder because it is online and so many people are online. So is there a delay in catch up? Like if it is, I mean, I do think that there will be a delay in catch up, but I feel like the gap is closing because of technology and because of online. It makes it, it can happen faster, but I'm curious to see what happens.
And I'm seeing like even more things on like people that I would never have dreamed would use Facebook Messenger like a year ago.
Right.
They have discovered it and are like relentless. but I mean, you know, yeah. So it's just like, okay, yeah, yeah, it could happen that way. So yeah, you're probably right. It may be sooner than I think. Cause I think, you know, we have an older population here, you know, and so I think that it's an interesting dynamic to watch them having adapted to being online.
Yeah.
You know, because there was a whole lot of that. Like, I remember when we were trying to, you know, when we started like the six box thing, right? And we were collecting email addresses and it always cracked me up that people would give you their cell phone number way before they'd give you their email address. It's like, really?
Interesting.
I mean, if I was going to protect anything, it would be my cell phone versus my email. I could give you any kind of email address I wanted because it's not like I can't set up a boatload of free accounts.
Right.
Right. So, and it was mostly the older population that would do that. They would like, oh, no, I can't do that. So it's been an interesting kind of growth period of that kind of stuff too for them. So.
For sure. And just to clarify, anybody that's watching Sixbox is something that WizBank Training teaches for your loyalty program where people are coming into the store and on their sixth visit, they get something in return. So it's a loyalty program. Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating, Tammy, that people were more likely to give their cell phone than their email address because I am the same way. It's like my cell phone number is my like very special place that I only want very special people to show up. But at the same time, if people love your store, they want to see your shit. So they're going to want to get that text, you know, versus an email.
So we haven't started any texting yet. We need to do that. But
I think you need to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good one. So are you somebody who listens to podcasts or reads books frequently?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cause I'm like a constant learner. So is there something that you have been consuming, a book or podcast over the past 30 days that you would recommend?
Oh, I love Armchair Expert.
Oh, what? With Dax Shepard?
Oh, that is like my most favorite one in the world. I think he is a genius. I think he is one of the smartest people that can come off as the biggest jackass ever. I love that kind of juxtaposition that he's always got. But I love the conversations that he has. I like listening to the people that he's got on.
Yeah.
You know, and so I really like that. I mean, we listened to it all the way up to Duluth from here, you know, when we went on Friday and Tom's looking at me like, really? And it's like, yes, really? Yeah, we're going to listen to that.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And then, the book that I just finished, in fact, I bought it as part of a pre-launch, was Jamie Kern Lima's book, Believe It.
I did the whole thing too with her. I'm reading it. I was just reading it last night in bed. I freaking love her and her book.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought she was so sweet. And then we met, what was it? Well, we were at a retail success summit when Brendan Burchard was there.
Yep.
And so we went to his High Performance Academy. If you ever get a chance to do that, it's something to do and to remember forever. I mean, we did it. You're there all day and he's amazing because he is on the entire time. And so I'm part of his growthday.com or something. Okay. Anyway, and so then he sent a copy to everybody that's on Growth Day. So I have an extra copy. So if you know somebody that wants it, let me know because I'll send it out to you. You can have it because I already bought a copy of it for all of my team.
Oh, my God. I love it. Okay. So if anybody's watching Crystal Uncorked, the first person to leave a comment about this book,
we'll send
Tammy's copy. And then I would really love it if you signed your copy, Tammy, even though you didn't write the book. But wouldn't it be kind of fun?
Yeah.
It'd be good fun.
But it's a great book. I'd never heard of that. So then I had to go buy some of the stuff, don't you know? So it's good buyout stuff, though. You know, like it takes care of that bag.
Yes.
Really good.
I first learned about Jamie when I went to Tony Robbins' virtual conference in November of 2020. Mm-hmm. And she was a guest speaker on the final day. And I'm sitting here in my office right here. And I am just like hanging on to her every word. And I'm just crying because she's such a great public speaker. She has an amazing story. And she's part of this. There's been a lot to push me to finally do this show. And her talk was part of that. It was like, I just keep inching my way to doing this. And then in the very beginning of her book, she talks about how she watched Oprah. She wanted her own talk show. If you came over to her house, she would pour you some coffee. She'd be in sweats. Maybe she'd pour you wine. Very relatable. And I'm like,
the wine would be in a coffee cup.
Yeah. And I'm like, this girl is speaking my language. Like, I grew up watching Oprah. I also want a talk show. Also very relatable. Let's wear sweats and have some wine. Like, loving her and her story is so inspiring. So how fun. Yes. Excellent recommendations.
Yeah. I just love that book. So
cool. I have to listen to Armchair Expert more. I love Dax Shepard when he is a guest on Ellen. He always gives such great relationship advice.
I like his honesty, you know, and I like the way he speaks. Because he's like speaking my language, swearing all the time. So it's okay.
Yeah. No, I loved your comment for Crystal Uncorked, which, you know, I have been kind of clean on this episode.
It's been me that's been bad.
I know, which I love.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I love that you have, though. But, my aunt, who's in Iowa, Decorah, Iowa area, Ridgeway, and my mom, they're like, we like the show, but you're swearing. And I'm like, you guys swear? What, are you perfect angels over there? I mean, but I do swear more than them. And there was a study, which I could try to find it and link it in our show notes, that proved that people who cuss are smarter. So
I just heard that again. Where was it? I was watching something on TV and they were talking about that. It was just like within this weekend.
See?
And there's like, yes,
we're fucking smart, Tammy.
We are. I knew I was a fucking genius. I just needed validation somewhere. So
that's going to be your quote graphic for the show. I knew I was a fucking genius.
That works.
Love it. My last question is for people who have children.
Yeah.
What are some of the must-have toys right now or games?
Well, you know what? We don't tend to do like the must-haves. The big things right now are those stupid poppets. I shouldn't say stupid, but they're a pain in the ass because you can't get them, right? And they're these little things and kids just do it. What, 3-4 years ago, Fat Brain Toys, which is one of the best toy companies ever, and that guy that shows up at Astra, if you go to Astra next time, I'll have to show him to you because he's quite fine. His name is Dan. Yes.
Dan. Okay.
Yes. But they gave these keychains away and they weren't going to make those things for anybody. They were just giving them away to Astra attendees. And so we all told them, it's like, no, you need to make those, you know? And so we've been selling them like crazy anyway. And then this whole TikTok craziness happened with these poppers and I can't get them. I can't get them to save my soul. I've ordered them, you know, and that's all anybody talks about are these silly poppers. We probably have 6 or 7 people come in a day looking for them.
Oh my gosh, Tammy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah. And people, you know, it's just like, remember where the fidget spinners were big?
Yes.
Okay. It's the same way because there's a lot of toy stores that are just bending people over on these things too. They're just charging way too much for them. And I can't do that. It's just wrong.
Right. I know. I get that. But I will say you mentioned TikTok and that is my favorite social media platform. I love it. It is a place for you to find trends early, possibly, to where you could get them.
I did. I think when you had your summit thing, you were talking about TikTok. So I did set up a profile.
Okay.
And then I told Lindsay, who does my social, and she goes, oh, I can't cope with TikTok yet. I go, well, it's ready when you are. And so So we'll be doing
that. If she's just an observer to find trends, she's going to love her job because there's really creative people on TikTok and there's really funny things and inspiring things. And if she's digging to just find some of those trends, I think she's going to be hooked. And then ideally she gets some ideas for your store where you guys can make some TikToks. And because I really like I said, the summit short form content is where it's at this year on Instagram and TikTok. So that would be game changer, but a great way to start to just see those trends.
I think I'll have to pay attention. I think I did download it and then I took it off because I wasn't getting into it. And she kind of just said no. So
sure.
I could just go into this black hole in a heartbeat. So I need to.
I know it's easy to do.
Are you doing that Clubhouse one?
I am doing Clubhouse. I'm really liking Clubhouse. I also have like 5 invites. So please let me know.
Because it's been weeks. If you want to, unless you've already got them spoken for, if you do,
I think all I need is your cell phone number because I have to text you it. But if there's anybody watching this that needs an invite too, like DM me on Instagram or leave a comment on crystalandcork.com because I'm happy to share those invites. That's definitely a platform where, I mean, that's the other thing. So short form content and audio. Our future is audio. I mean, I think that that's just an obvious thing with these devices like Amazon Alexa and Siri, and it's in our car, and now with Clubhouse and with podcasting, like, so really understanding how you could be a part of that. But it's been really neat to be a fly on the wall in these different rooms on Clubhouse and just learn from people. I also showed up to be a fly on the wall once, and they invited me to be a speaker, which I wasn't expecting. So I'm out on my walk, like out of breath. And I stop in the middle of my neighborhood to like give my tip about Facebook Live. And I'm like, if any of my neighbors are watching this right now, I'm just like, yes, Facebook Live is one of the best tools you could be using. Like, what is this girl doing? Why is she standing in front of my house talking about this? But that's what's kind of neat is like, if you do know somebody and you could chime in or you could raise your hand, people are just sharing a wealth of information all for free. And I've like just put it on for a few hours. I'll sit in the hammock or I'll do a puzzle or something for my like downtime. So I recommend definitely send me your cell phone. I'll get you an invite. I think you'll like it.
Okay. Now, I didn't ask you what podcasts are you listening to besides Crystal Uncorked, of course.
Oh, man. So I kind of have my signatures. Like I've listened to Marie Forleo for many years.
Oh, I like her too.
Yeah. Love her. Just listened to her episode this morning on my walk. I'm a big audiobook person too. So Dale Carnegie, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living has been, it's a long book, but that's something that I've been working my way through and that's been really great. The Big Leap is another book that I've really enjoyed recently. So, and then I feel like I really like James Wedmore, Business by Design. His podcast, he's just super chill and real. And, you know, he talks about, it's a lot of like online business stuff, but also just business in general and leadership and manifestation. He sprinkles in some woo woo, but, he's just a very likable, knowledgeable guy. So check that.
So are you listening to any astrology ones?
Oh, I am. I mean, I'm in a couple of astrology memberships, actually. Like I'm paying for that stuff because I love it.
That Soul Sunshine one or something like that. Soul Shine.
I don't know that one. I'm in Sirius Joy.
Okay.
And it's spelled Sirius, I think, Sirius Joy. And I'll link to all this on the show notes too. So I'm in there, his membership. Holy shit. I'm like wildly impressed with this guy. He is producing so much content and so much high value. I'm getting a ton out of this membership. It's amazing. And then I also joined one, Modern Magic. I found her on TikTok. She's like 22 years old and shares a lot of sexy photos. So I'll just say this because like she has a very sexy brand and shows a lot of skin, but she's very knowledgeable and helps teach understanding like your natal chart and what's going on in the current transits with your own chart. And she talks a lot about cryptocurrency and the charts of cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. And so I am very interested in crypto. I do think it's our future. And so I love looking at that from an astrology perspective as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think the one that I think it is Soul Shine. I think that's it.
Okay.
But she was a guest on Jenna Kutcher's on her thing. And I don't listen to Jenna all the time, but I just happened onto one and then listen to it. And I really like her. I get her emails and I've been thinking about joining her group because she does like a whole career astrology thing. So I thought that was interesting. Like hers is all geared toward where you want to go, what you want to be when you grow up, that kind of stuff. So,
okay. I love that. Yeah. Well, that's a little bit too. I just joined. I sound like a membership.
We're the same. You're just a lot younger than me.
Yeah. Well, there's another one. Have you heard of Kate Northrup?
No.
Her mom's a pretty well-known author in the health space, but Kate has Origins. So I joined that membership and they have a big astrology influence, but her whole thing is how to do less and achieve more. It's very driven towards women and it's also driven towards our cycle and what's going on with ourselves and the moon. And
Jenna Kutcher just did that on her growth day thing.
Very cool. She
talked about all of that, I think, on her little talk. Have you done the growth day thing?
No.
Yeah. Brandon Burchard's bringing all kinds of speakers together. Like he's had Dave Hollis on there. He's had David Bach on there. But he does a thing like Thursday will be him doing 2 hours of training. But it's a pretty cheap thing. It's pretty cheap for Brandon Burchard training.
Right. I love him so much. He's amazing. I haven't gone to his event like you mentioned, but I have heard of other retailers who've gone and loved it. I have to be careful. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I have to be careful because I will consume too much information. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what I want, and my voice. And I've let it actually take over before. And we've had one of our worst launches because of that, because I was following somebody else. So I have to really be careful because I am so curious and I love learning. That's all if I could just get paid to listen and learn to everybody, I would love that.
I can see where that happened. I'm sure that it's happened to me too, because it's but she said this and
Yeah. And then you kind of get away from but what do my people need and what do I want to do? So the good news is I went through that and I identified it and I went through it with Pauline. And so she'll help me be okay, are we getting too far off or is this what we want to do? So that's nice. But it is so nice to learn about these resources. And I do think that we are always learning. And I think we should. I think we should always learn. So I love exchanging. That's why I ask about the podcast and book, what you got going on? Here's what I got going on. So those are fun. I'll link to all of this in the show notes for anybody listening. Check out any of these resources. I love that we're listening to some of the same stuff. There's some good stuff out there. And Tammy, before we say goodbye, is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
No, I think that they just need to listen. They need to watch and listen to Crystal and Cork, though, because it's pretty fun.
Yay!
I really like the one with you and your boyfriend. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, that's been a fan favorite. But now he's been he did it today when I was prepping for your interview. He's do you need me to be on camera? Do you need me to be here? I'm like, get out. This is my show.
But you know what the other thing was that I really, really liked? I mean, I've always respected you and your talent and the way that you present yourself and everything else. But this is more this is more you. It's more real.
Yeah.
And I understand why you can't do it in the other environment.
Right.
But I think that's what made it so appealing to me. It's oh my God. She says fuck all the time. It's awesome.
I do. Yeah. I do. And I really appreciate
the whole world.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you when you said that comment and I messaged you back. For some reason, you were in my mind of, is Tammy going to watch this show? I was just holding it. And I'm is Tammy going to watch the show? And this is a real thing. And I was okay, I gotta let go of Tammy. Cause what if she doesn't? What if I am measuring this? I don't even know what this show is, but for some reason you kept coming in and I'm okay, is she my PCG? So then you watched and you commented and I'm oh my gosh, it meant the world. I teared up because it was just a really meaningful thing for me because I thought of you. Yeah. I just thought of you so much. And the fact that you did watch and comment within the first week, I'm okay, this is amazing. And then I had to have you on the show.
you're so funny.
You got to be here. So I really appreciate that. I will say it's like, I'm just being Crystal Uncorked. I'm trying to figure out the blend of like Crystal Media, because everything we talked about, my Crystal Media audience is going to love. Like, we're going to share it to that group, but we are cussing and it is a little bit different than anything you've ever seen before. So that's been kind of interesting to try to work through and understand. But
well, it's kind of the same experience I have when I'm at the bar two doors down and I still have my Whimsy shirt on. It's like, what if this is a
totally. Totally. So, yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like people are just seeing me out at the wine bar and it's a little different, but still great combos. So right?
It is.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. So obviously you are in Minnesota with your brick and mortar store in the super cute town of Albert Lea, Minnesota, which I cannot wait to visit. And I'm going to try to make my way there sooner than later. You, everybody listening, I'm going to link to all this, but check out Tammy on Instagram, Facebook at Hey Whimsy. Same with her website, heywhimsy.com. She does ship. So go check out some of those lines she was talking about today. See what they have. If you are in need for anybody, if you have some babies and kids or you're shopping for somebody, awesome person to buy from. Tammy, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. I had so much fun. I was a little uptight and it's like, nah, this is going to be fine. And it was. It was.
You chatting.
Made me feel really comfortable. See?
Good. That means so much to me.
Well, you did. You did. So you're natural. So don't be afraid. Just go.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. One more final cheers here.
Yes.
Cheers.
Thank you so much. I believe in you. You go.
And I believe in you, Tammy. Once again, thank you so much. And bye, everybody. I'll see you on the next CU. Thank you so much for listening. Are you on Instagram? I'd love to see pictures of you listening to the show, a screenshot of your favorite episode, and or your favorite wines. Share them with me. Just follow and tag at Crystal Uncorked. I can't wait to see you there. All right, I'll see you on the next CU.